What a blessed people we are to be children of the King, our Savior, who came to the earth 2,000 years ago. We're going to talk about that today from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 21. We're going to talk about God's gift that was given to everyone present, every individual. No matter how bad you think you are, or no matter how good you think you are, you needed this gift that God gave 2,000 years ago. That gift, of course, being Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Of course, we're at this point, 8 days after the birth of Jesus. It says, "And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of Moses, or the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in spirit, or he came in the spirit, into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice that he made for us. May we never forget that we have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, the precious Son of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. God's gift. Of course, we know, as I said before, that gift is Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to start. I want to start today with the baby's name. They called him Jesus. You know, perhaps the most important thing after a child is born is what name will you give that child? You know, you want a name that is relevant. You want a name that will cause people to take notice of that child. You want everybody to know how special that child is. That's the case with Jesus. This child is the most special child that will ever be born. The name has to be right. I mean, it has to declare God. This name has to describe what this child is going to be. Because the expectations for this child, this Lamb of God, is super high. If you go back in the book of Luke, when it was announced to Mary that she would conceive and have a son, the angel's words were this: "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will never end." You need a name that reflects such a baby. When the baby was announced to the shepherds at his birth. Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This name has to reflect that this person is here to save the world. When he was announced to Joseph, Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." This name has to say, this is God in the flesh. Boy, that's a big task for your name, isn't it? And of course, we know that usually the parents pick out the name, but not in this case. Before the baby was even conceived, when the angel appeared to Mary, the angel told Mary what the name of this baby was going to be. And that name is, of course, Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of a Hebrew name. That Hebrew name is Joshua. And that Hebrew name means Yahweh is salvation. Now, can you imagine a name that says Yahweh is salvation? God, you know, a little closer to us, we'd say, God is salvation. And what I want you to, the first thing I want you to get from this message today is I want you to understand the significance of this baby, Jesus, and His name. You see, according to John chapter 1, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, if you're not careful, you just roll that off and you don't stop and think about the meaning, but the phrase "word" is logos in the Greek. And literally it is a message. It is something spoken. If I tell you something, I've given you a logos. So this child is God's logos or God's word to mankind. When it says in John chapter 1 verse 14 that this word became flesh and dwelt among us, it means that God sent this child to deliver His message to all of mankind. Think about this. God wants to speak, and He does it by naming this child Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. That's the message that He's declaring to the shepherds, to Mary, to Joseph, to the wise men, to everybody. You see, this was the message that was needed. In that world of that day, the Jews were a people who were occupied by Romans. They were under Roman oppression. They were considered, most of the people in Jerusalem or Israel at that time were not even considered. If they weren't abused by the Roman government, they were abused by their own religious system. They were a people that the light was going out. They needed good news. They needed to hear a message of salvation. You know, they weren't that different than we are. I don't know how often I've heard, "I just don't know what this world is coming to." Have you ever heard that phrase? Look, and oftentimes we get angry at the conditions and the opinions and the politics and everything in the world. And the bottom line is that today people are hurting. People are suffering. They're under satanic attack. Our families, our marriages are under attack. Our lives are under attack. Everywhere you look, there's trial and tribulation and trouble. The one thing people need to hear today is good news. And I want to tell you, the good news is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ. In Yahweh, there is salvation. That's the good news. Sometimes we get to looking at too many other things and the distractions. But the bottom line is this. Jesus is still Jesus. And He can still save everyone, every individual who will call upon His name. Because He is God's message that says, in God or in Yahweh is salvation. You want salvation? The only way you're going to get it is through Jesus. But you can have it. It doesn't matter who you are. But you got to go through Jesus. That was the first thing we looked at about this child, Jesus. The second thing I want to look at beyond His name is His dedication service. You see, in the text, it says that they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. That was the Jewish equivalent of the modern day baby dedication, right? Except the difference is they were required to do this under the law of Moses. And the requirement was that after 33 days, they were required, after the birth of a child, a lady was considered unclean for 33 days after that birth. And then after that 33 days, they'd bring that child, that firstborn child, to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate him to the Lord. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 12. We won't go there today in the interest of time, but it talks about that. And when they came to dedicate this child, they were required to bring an offering. And the requirement for their offering was a one-year-old lamb as a burnt offering and either a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. I say, it's in Leviticus chapter 12. You can read about it this afternoon if you like. But if you'll notice, Mary and Joseph, when they came to dedicate this baby Jesus, they didn't bring a lamb. What they brought was either two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Doesn't seem quite right, does it? Well, if you also look in Leviticus chapter 12, you'll read how that there was a special part of that law was set aside for the poor. See, there were some people who couldn't afford a lamb. And so for those people who couldn't afford a lamb, instead of offering one bird, they would just come to make this dedication with either two pigeons or two turtle doves. You realize Mary and Joseph were too poor to afford a lamb at the dedication of the Son of God? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? It reminds me, listen, you don't have to break the bank to buy Christmas. You don't have to have a lot of money to celebrate Christmas. What you have to have is a Savior. Not only did they not have the money to buy a lamb to sacrifice for a burnt offering, but Mary and Joseph brought the lamb to the sacrifice, or to the dedication service. Isn't that interesting? When I was thinking about that, I thought, wow, they didn't need to buy a lamb. Yeah, they were too poor to buy it, but they didn't need to because they had the Lamb of God that would be sacrificed for the sin of the world. 1 John chapter 1, verse 29, when John saw Jesus coming years later, it says the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You know what we need in the world today? We need a Christmas gift that'll take away the sin of the world. That'll bring forgiveness. That'll bring peace and comfort. And the sad part is that we're living in a world that's fighting to remove everything that declares God or everything that declares Jesus. You know, the idea is let's get all that out of sight because it may be offensive to some. So we've come to the point where most employers will tell their employees, now don't say Merry Christmas, say Happy Holidays. Makes me want to jump around and say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. A little bit rebellious. Fights going on to remove nativity scenes. We don't have Christmas trees anymore. We have holiday trees. We're supposed to... It's like Jesus is being replaced. Nativity scenes are not welcome, but the Grinch scenes are okay, right? It doesn't make sense. You see, we live in a world of hurting people. People who need to experience forgiveness from sin. Yet the world declares, well, let's keep religion. Let's keep God in the church house. Don't let Him out in public. And you have to understand, all of taking this stuff away, it does not hurt people of faith. Listen, I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't care what you do. I don't care what the world does. I trust Jesus, period. End of conversation. The sad part is, it does hurt the people who need faith. And we have a world of people who need faith. You know, and we often complain of how out of control the world is and how messed up things are, and we talk about sin, and the problem is it's a people, we have people with no hope. They're searching. And so they search through alcohol, they search through drugs, they search through immorality and ungodly lifestyle, and they're grasping for something because there's a great big empty hole in the middle. What they need is hope. And there is hope in one called Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. Listen, I can tell you what will fix your life. You know, we go to counselors, we read self-help books. I can tell you what will fix your life. Jesus, now I'm not saying life will always be easy. I'm not saying there won't be hurts and pains. But I can tell you this. As a child of the King, you never face those hurts and those pains alone. And when it gets too much for you to bear and too heavy for you to carry, then Jesus will carry you through. And the glorious part is when this life is over, praise God, I know where I'm going. There's been a home set aside for me, eternal in the heavens, that'll never fade away. I'm not the least bit worried about hell. Why? Because I trust Christ as my Savior and I have peace. But some better worry about hell, because there's only one of two options to spend eternity. As I look, you know, and I still get angry sometimes, but I thank God's changing my heart. Instead of getting angry as I look at the sinfulness and the ungodliness of the world, I'm starting to look and just feel sorry for people. Just, you know, and the world is experiencing a self-inflicted hopelessness. They don't get it. You know, it's as though that we're on a ship and the ship is sinking, and the people who can't swim refuse the lifeboats. Here, get in the lifeboat, it'll take you to safety. No, I don't believe in lifeboats. Really? But the ship is sinking. It doesn't matter. You can't make me get in the lifeboat. But look, there's room for everyone. I don't care. I don't like lifeboats. But if you don't get in the lifeboat, you're going to die. That's what this baby was all about. He was God's lifeboat sent to a seeking ship of humanity that needed salvation and deliverance. Please stop and consider. As I look at it that way, you know, and all the stuff of fighting to take God out of the public and all the transgender and the immorality that's in the... I'm thinking, don't... I just feel sorry for him anymore. Because I know the answer. And the answer is very, very plain. That answer is Jesus Christ. And they say, no, I don't believe in lifeboats. Folks, God sent us the greatest gift ever given. Why would you refuse God's gift? Brings us to the last point, the baby's value. I want you to understand the value of this child. And the last part of the text, we meet a man in the temple named Simeon. And it was interesting when I thought about this guy. I had my preconceived notions about Simeon, and most of them didn't pan out. You see, it says Simeon was a righteous and devout man. And I don't know, for some reason, I always thought he was a priest. It doesn't say that anywhere. I always assumed he was an old man. Doesn't say that anywhere. Really, all it says about Simeon is he was a righteous and devout man, and he had the promise of God. But what is really interesting about Simeon is in his name. The name Simeon means to hearken. You know what hearken means, right? Shake your head if you know what hearken means. It means to listen and obey. And not just hear, but to hear and obey. And God had revealed to this man named Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Isn't it really cool or really interesting that Jesus, being God's message, was brought to meet a man named Simeon, which meant to listen and obey? And that stuff isn't coincidental, you know? But when they brought Jesus to the temple, Simon, led by the Spirit to the temple. And when he saw the child, it says he took Jesus in his arms. Imagine, all right, you got to use your mind's eye here just a little bit. He took Jesus, this Christ child, in his arms. And he's gently holding the Messiah, God in the flesh, in his arms. The one thing he wanted more than anything else was this, to see this child. Can you imagine that? How special? How special this was to Simon. The reason it was special is because he knew what he had. You see, at Christmas time, it's easy for us to lose sight of what we have as children of God. A lot of people get depressed at Christmas. A lot of people get downhearted and we miss loved ones that have gone on before and all. And I understand that and appreciate that. But here's what I want you to get. If you're a child of the King, you have the most important thing that you could possibly have in Jesus Christ. Can you, Simeon sitting there, he's holding God's Son in his arms. He's caressing God's revelation to the Gentiles. He's holding the glory of Israel to himself. And he says, Lord, I can die now. Have you ever received a gift that you just backed up and said, okay, Lord, just take me home. Life's not going to get any better than this. This is the high point, is what he's saying. Now, he had the promise of God. I understand that too. God had told him, but he just backed up and says, all right, God. That's good. I can die in peace. I've seen your salvation. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you are. Here's what I want you to understand. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If you're a child of the King, God has given you the greatest gift that you could ever possibly receive in Jesus Christ. And that is the gift of salvation. Do you understand? At Christmas, this time of year, we're not celebrating like the world celebrates. We're celebrating salvation. We're celebrating forgiveness of sins. We celebrate that we don't face the troubles of life alone because He's our strength and our strong tower. We celebrate that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And glory to God, He's all we need. Don't take Him for granted. Appreciate what you have in Jesus is the closing point. Just stop and give glory to God for what you have in Jesus Christ. You know, often, especially during Thanksgiving, we thank God for all that He provides. And God does provide. But this Christmas, I just challenge you. Praise God for His marvelous gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, because that is all that we need. You see, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. If you've got Jesus, it's going to be okay. Live, die, whatever. If you've got Jesus, it's going to be okay. But I want to talk to the other side of that coin for just a moment. A gift is only valuable if you accept it. Have you ever bought a gift to give to someone and they turn you down? No, I don't want your gift. How silly. How silly. I don't, you know, not to sound greedy, but when somebody gives me a gift, I just, thank you. Thank you. I just appreciate it, and I want to receive it. God has given you the greatest gift of all time. That is His Son, who died upon the cross of Calvary for your sin, so that you could have everlasting life. And He offers that gift to you today. Here. It's the gift of eternal life, meaning you'll go to heaven when you die. Just take the gift. It's Jesus. It's the gift of peace that passes understanding, so that when you go through the trials and the temptations and the storms of life, you know that it's going to be okay because you've got Jesus. Here's the gift. Here's the gift. That you don't have to feel guilty because you know your sins are cast as far as east is from the west. But you've got to take the gift. One of these days won't cut it. Hoping you're going to be good enough to go to heaven won't cut it. You've got to take the gift. Today, if you've never taken the gift, let's just stop. And I want you to consider this. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You're going to die. Brother Doug, I'm a young man. I'm a young woman. It don't matter. You're going to die. Where none of us are promised tomorrow. I've seen people die as children, and I've seen people live to 90s plus. But in the 60 years of my life, I've discovered that everybody comes to the same end. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Have you received the gift? How do you receive the gift? I'm so glad you asked. The Bible says that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That if you cry out to Jesus, asking forgiveness of sin, asking God to save you, that's how you receive the gift. Brother Doug, that's too simple. If it were any harder, you couldn't receive it. If there was something you had to do to earn it, it wouldn't be a gift. It would be wages. It would be payment. And trust me, God does not owe us anything. But in His love, generosity, mercy, and grace, He offers you the gift today. What is your answer? Heavenly Father, as we come to this invitation, I know You've offered the gift to everyone here. young, old alike. Some think they're too sinful to be saved. Lord, just touch their heart and help them to realize that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. They're not too sinful. For those who think they're too good to be saved, Lord, touch their heart, convict them of their sins, and draw them to You. Help them to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Father, I pray that when we leave here today, that every single individual present can leave here knowing that they have received the greatest gift ever given, Your Son, Jesus Christ. Now we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.